Old Testament reading is taken from Exodus 15, verses 1 to 13. Then Moses and the children of Israel sang this psalm to the Lord, who spoke, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The Lord sent its rider, he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army. He is cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths them. They sink to the bottom like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, has dashed the enemy in pieces. And in greatness of your excellence, you have overthrown those who rose against you. You sent forth your wrath, you consumed them like a stone, and with the blast of your nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The floods stood upright like a heap. The depths congealed in the heart of the sea. And the enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My desire shall be satisfied on them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. You blew with your wind, the sea covered them. They sank like dead in mighty waters. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? You stretched out your right hand, you have swallowed them. You, in your mercy, have led forth the people whom you have redeemed. You have guided them in your strength to your holy habitation. New Testament reading is taken from Romans chapter 11, verses 25 to 36. For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion. That blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel will be saved, as it is written. The deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. Concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. But concerning the election, they are beloved, the sake of the Father. For the gifts and the calling of God is irrevocable. For as you were once disobedient to God, yet have now obtained mercy through your their disobedience, even so, these also have now been disobedient, that through the mercy shown you, they also may obtain mercy. For God has committed them all to disobedience, that he might have mercy on them. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and the ways past finding out. Or who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has become his counselor? Or who has first given to him, and it shall be repaid to him? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things. To whom be the glory for him. Amen.
Doesn't that touch you, that reading there? Verse 29, for the gifts and calling of God are what? Irrevocable. Isn't that wonderful promise? I want us now to turn to the last, very last section of Micah. We come to the end of this book over many weeks. And it's probably one of the brightest spots of this text. Some of you have been a bit impressed by it at times because, you see, if you're a gospel preacher or an evangelist, it's not at all God loves you and so do I. That might be very well for the Dr. Robert Shuler of his life and the hours of power, but it ain't true of the scriptures. If you want to use the word, there is a lot of doom in scripture, there's a lot of doom around today. And we need to tell people that there is a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. That's our message. And at times it will have to be miserable and gloomy. But until we come to that place, we'll never ever quite understand the wonders of the cross of Calvary, if you like. If we never understand our sinfulness in whatever form it may take, we'll never glory in the cross. It'll just be a rather ordinary sort of a doctrine for the Christian church. Well, let's take verse 18 of Micah 7 to the end. And we're reminded that Micah's name means what we have in his first statement. His name means, who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in mercy. He will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. You will cast all our sins into the depth of the sea. You will give truth to Jacob and mercy to Abraham, which you have sworn to our fathers from days of old. We just pray and the Lord will guide us in his word. Lord, we do as our hymn tells us, to ask the Saviour to guide us. Lord, in many ways, although we listen to many sermons, many Bible studies, read many books, we're still, Lord, often just weak and fragile human beings in mind and body. And the words that you have for us here are applicable for us and for all people. But we have a pardoning God. We have an amazing God. We pray as we look at this, we might have that as a backdrop to our thoughts this morning. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I know a preacher should never apologize for the gospel, and I don't, nor should anyone. But there might be things that I say this morning that you may take amiss, because I'm going to talk to you initially about the subject of mental health. And you'll see in a while how it fits in with Micah and what is being said here in our verses. Mental health is at an all-time high. You may have heard it on the news that there isn't even enough psychologists or psychiatrists to cope with the disease. Other way, when you look at that word, you might agree with me when I say, well, if you take the word disease, you can split it up and you can say dis-ease. That covers to film a DVD. Australians live with complex mental illness, and over 4 million Australians are affected. It's often called a silent disease and can include such conditions as depression, anxiety, schizophrenia, bipolar disease, mood disorders, personality disorders, and even eating disorders. Each day, 8 to 9 generally young men take their lives in suicide. The age of vulnerability is something 15 to 24. And 350 young people in our country do that every year. And for every youth suicide, there are 100 to 200 more attempts. 75% of these are male. 1 in 3 Australians, and I realise that statistics can do what you want them to do, but we'll leave this as it is. 1 in 3 Australians report that they are often lonely. It's most likely, as I said to you this morning, that each of us here this morning, either ourselves or relatives, are affected in some way by this. Think of our Lord Jesus Christ and his upbringing. Luke 2, verse 52, is a good balanced upbringing of our Lord. We're told there that he increased in wisdom and stature, in favor with God and with man. That, of course, includes the intellect, the physical prowess. Our favor with God is our spiritual life, and man is our social life. And our Lord ticked every box. He was perfect in every way. He was, of course, sinless. And although tempted in every way, yet grew in a balanced way. The majority of us, and I think we're going to have to say amen to this, are unbalanced in one way or another. But of course, we are fallen creatures. We are totally depraved, which of course affects our reason, our will, our intellect, and our thought life. And at best, sometimes, our inner being is like a jungle terrain, motivated by pride, self-interest, lust. We are sheep going astray from the Good Shepherd. And as a result, if not for us, not as much as others, we may feel insecure, fearful, anxious, and depressed. Now this topic of mental health has every man and his dog discussing and theorizing with gurus that people still rely on, such as Sigmund Freud, Carl Jung, and even up to date, dear old Dr. Phil. And there are countless others who counsel on radio, television, and internet. Just a few more stats for a moment. In America, 1 in 10 Americans aged 12 and over takes antidepressant medication. In this country, 3 million Australians are prescribed antidepressants. By the way, they are those mainly that work on that area in the brain. It's that substance called serotonin. Now, in saying all of these matters, we're not being proud. We're not saying as Christians we have all the answers. And we rely, and some of you may have relied quite strongly on such organizations such as Lifeline, Black Dog Institute, Alcoholics Anonymous, and Teen Challenge. And of all of those who seek to cope with an all-encompassing condition. I may add to all of this sadness that depression is very common in aged care. Okay, in presenting that, and probably depressed you by all the statistics, What about us as we who are Christians? Are we to do anything or just to sit back and say, dear, dear, we can do nothing? Do we have an answer to this condition? No doubt, each of us use many allied resources. We do every day when we get in trouble, mentally, physically, and spiritually, and socially. We understand with fairness here that depression, which seems to be the major issue today, has many sources. Yet, at the same time, let me come back at it on the other side. Let me say to you, you would have a hearty amen to this, whom do we serve? We serve the King of Kings. We ourselves claim that we have the Word of God. We claim also that we are led, directed, comforted, and refreshed by the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. Do we have nothing to contribute to our country with this pandemic of mental health? Let's just add a little more to that in our lives and remind ourselves. We are to have the fruit of the Spirit. We know what they are. They are love and joy and peace and patience and self-control and kindness. And we say, do we not, amen, to the apostle who declares, be transformed, a metamorphosis of the mind. We also say, as a quote, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And we can never forget, and the peace of God that passes all understanding. So I'm going to throw my hat in the ring with all the other gurus. I'm no guru, by the way, I'm just saying that by way of conversation. I'm going to say that I think the number one killer in our land is guilt. To elaborate on that, I speak of unconfessed sin, rebellion against our Creator, and our numbed conscience. We are all guilty before God, and unless that is dealt with, it leads to death of many forms. Remember Paul, in his exposition in Romans, tells us this. But firstly, there are none righteous, no, not one. And to those under the law, every mouth should be stopped, and all the world is what? Become guilty before God. And if in this life we do not find forgiveness, we are damaged and ultimately go to a lost eternity. Guilt, I believe, and again you can challenge this, by all means do so, guilt produces almost every mental condition under the sun. Now that's quite a claim, isn't it? Have a think about it. So how does this all fit in with Micah? 3,000 years ago, this prophet of doom. Well, for a start, Micah was surrounded by guilty Jews who gave lip service to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They indulged in sorcery, which is demonic. They worshipped carved images. And if you remember chapter 6 and verse 8, which is well known in Micah, God had shown them, verse 8 of chapter 6, He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. And they were not. And people are not today. What about us? So here's Micah, surrounded by guilty Jews who give lip service to God the Creator through a religious ritual that they go through but remain guilty before God, and there is no repentance. But think about this. This morning we have confessed our sin. I pray that each day you do the same. But what about those who don't? sin upon sin, layer upon layer. And in Micah's day, it was a continual abusive treatment of the poor. The rich and the influential were using social and political power to their fellow countrymen. And there were works of the flesh, just as there was then as there is today, which you know comes in this form. They were adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, burst of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, says Galatians 5. This is the mindset of the unregenerate. And more or less, they are guilty of these acts, if not outwardly, in their mind. Now I ask you this morning, all that long list, can this be treated by medication, transaction analysis, hypnosis, yoga, blaming your upbringing, your society, your government? Well, what about COVID, racial discrimination, and the favorite today, playing the victim? You would, of course, get plenty of support these days for such things from, well, our dear old friend Sigmund Freud, Oprah Winfrey, and even, of course, the ABC. Now think, the parable of the unforgiving servant, you know that one, don't you? Where the servant there was let off a huge amount from an all-encompassing, all-loving, ultimately welcoming God to which that shows us. But what did the man do? He went out and he found a fellow servant and he grabbed him by the neck, which is somewhat embarrassing in a public way, and he said to him, "Pay me what you owe me." And you know, that statement just sums up, as Bible can say, many attitudes today. Pay me what you owe me. Oh, I look at my youth. Oh, I look at this. I look at that. Pay me what you owe me. It's always someone else who has to pay me what you owe me. Now, will you turn to Psalm 32 on this one? Think this one through. You yourself may not be in this condition, but you are surrounded by people just like this. Even David, who was a godly man. Psalm 32, here we find this text. Notice in verse 3 of this psalm that's related to forgiveness. Verse 3, when I kept what? Silent, when I didn't confess, when I kept it to myself, when I became introverted, when I became depressed, when I became melancholic, when I kept silent, my bones did what? Groan. That's related to the physical self. Through my groaning all the day long. Who did he groan at? He didn't groan to God. He groaned at everyone else. Well, day and night, who was upon him? God. Bringing him, seeking to bring him in that place of repentance, which is a gift from God. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. Now I ask you, if you look at that, there's someone who has got real troubles with their mental health. And he said later on in that psalm, don't be like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle. And we are surrounded. And I believe that this mental health and guilt is inextricably mixed up with this issue of people who are stubborn, they're stiff-necked in heart and ear. And this is Micah's message, of course, all the way through. But he doesn't leave them without hope. That's the wonderful thing. Many people with mental health today are not being given hope. They're being given medication, not knocking that. They're being given therapy. All of that has its place. But have they been introduced, as Micah now comes before this? He says, who is like you, hardening iniquity. His mercy on the remnant is incomparable. Now think about the mindset of Micah. Is this the way you worship God? Well, Micah is almost overtaken. He is absorbed, he's transfigured, he's enlightened, he's overwhelmed, he's delighted, he's gobsmacked, amazed. And all the systems of Micah are in operation. Let's take it a little further. What do we mean by that? The adrenals, the thyroxine, the thyroid, the serotonin. You know, I am not frightened by emotions, are you? God made the glands to operate in harmony with himself. If I am sparking on all systems, then I'm doing as the psalmist says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, praise his name. Let everything that has breath, has life and breath, praise his name. And that statement, which we so well know in our circles, to glorify God and what? Enjoy him forever, is not some cold, flabby rice pudding of a doctrine to be left in the cupboard to go mold. See, Micah's at this place, and he wants all people to be at the same place. He wants them to know forgiveness. He wants them to know this mighty, forgiving God. Who is a God? Like you, as his name. Hardening iniquity. Now look at these terms that we find here for sin. The first one, iniquity. You also find that in verse 19. This term, iniquity, is closely connected with guilt. Iniquity refers to our guilt. Our sins have incurred a debt to God's holy justice that must be paid. In many ways, you could say of that parable, that's what God is saying to those who refuse to listen. Pay me what you owe me. What do we owe God? Everything. You see, if our consciences, according to Martin Luther, are not captive to the word of God and we remain in denial, and if our conscience is seared with a hot iron, we are anesthetized to God and to his word and are imprisoned. Don't you think, and I know you would believe this, that people with a mental health want release? Remember what David said in the Psalm? Bring my what? My soul, not my body, my soul out of prison that I may praise thy name. I need to remind you that the word for soul in the Greek is psyche, whereby we get psychiatrists and psychologists. And how many of them speak to the eternality of the soul? And if a person is truly delivered, then they can say, as that hymn says, my chains fell off, my heart was free, I rose, went forth, and went, followed thee. Notice too with the word here, transgression. This denotes that there is a rebellion against God's authority. We are flouting God's right to govern our lives. As traitors, we deserve to be punished with death. Just as they said in the parable referring to our Lord Jesus Christ, we do not want this man to reign over us. And we see it today, don't we? The shaking fist of defiance to God. They did that to him on the cross, our Lord. Come down from the cross, they said to him. They were disappointed. They were angry. And this form, too, also comes out in different forms of behavior today that are all too common. It comes out in wife beating, or even husband beating these days, alcoholism, drug addiction, road rage, even to the extent of those who battle in war with post-traumatic stress disorders. and it's never dealt with. And the associated guilt, which is very true, when they have killed someone and they're living with it. Transgression. And let me just say on this matter, and I'm not being glib here, if you take a life, you murder someone, whether it's in war or peace, there's going to be repercussions. Whether it's in war or in peace. Again, see what we hear from David? When I kept silent, my bones grew old for my groaning all day. Winning the victorious cross, there's nothing for a guilty conscience before God, whatever the RSL might say. So here, Micah deals in scrutiny with, almost like a surgeon here, with these issues of iniquity. He names them, transgression. He doesn't call them behavioral disorders. He doesn't euphemize them. He calls them for what they are. When we call behavior for what it is, then we know that we need a savior. God cannot tolerate, and this last one of course is sin, God cannot tolerate sin. And he declares all the world guilty. Pardoning iniquity. Taking away our guilt. You remember in the Old Testament on the Day of Atonement, the high priest would lay his hand on the head of the scapegoat and take him outside the camp and send far off in the wilderness. And along with the scapegoat, another spot, this animal was slain in sacrifice. In other words, what's being said here, by substitutionary death of a God-appointed sacrifice, our sin is lifted and taken away. Or as 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, by cancelling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands, and passing over our transgression. God does not demand retribution. He looks upon them at this time as passing over. Good word, isn't it? Passed over them in the troubles of Egypt. Passed over the blood of the lamb that was on the doorpost, which of course points to Calvary. Did you know, looking at the other side for a minute, there is joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. When you know your sin has been passed over, like the demon-possessed man, remember him? What happened ultimately to him? He certainly had mental health problems, there's no doubt about that, and there were demon-orientated as well. But how did he end up? Sitting quietly beside the Lord Jesus, clothed and in what? In his right mind. And again, I just draw attention to a few others on this mental health issue. What about the prodigal son? We know it's a parable. Did he have mental health issues? He sure did. He was depressed. He had regret. He had grief and loss. He had nutritional deficiency. But when he came to his right mind, what did he do? He went to Dr. Goodbody in West Perth and spent $400 an hour. And the psych at that time was what we call Brigerian. Are you familiar with that word? All they do is sit there and listen to you. Give no counsel whatsoever. And you go away slightly relieved for about 5 minutes. What did this prodigal son do? He went to his father and he said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. And before long, he was happy as Larry. And think about others that we forget about sometimes when it comes to this mental health and the God that we serve, the God of Micah. Saul of Tarsus. What did Saul of Tarsus need? Well, I tell you, if he was raging the way he was, they would put him on an anger management class for a start. And we can add there Martha. You hear Martha? There she is, with the pots and pans in the kitchen in a real rage. And what about dear Elijah, who was depressed and wished he was dead? What did he need? What did he need? He needed a good feed, a good sleep, and a refreshment from Almighty God. And one more, the Philippian jailer was just about to thrust a sword into himself. But he received the gospel instead, and he rejoiced in his salvation with all his own household. Guilt, I believe, is a killer of the body and the soul. And if we go back to the days of Adam, and if he stopped covering up and confessed, but he didn't, and so the world fell into sin, and all of us suffer some degree of mental health daily that could get worse or, by God's grace, get better, which is based on fear, anger, depression, lust, not love. And let's not forget, when your soul is alive with the ways of the Lord, as Micah is presenting here, the hymn puts it this way, the God that Micah speaks of, and that we want to point those with mental health and other conditions, who is a pardoning God like thee, or who hath grace so rich and free? In wonder lost with trembling joy, we take the pardon of our God. Pardon for crimes of deepest dark, a pardon bought with Jesus' blood. And this is for the remnant of the heritage. Notice in our reading now, verse 18. He does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in his steadfast mercy. He doesn't delight, we do often. Is anyone here this morning and you're holding a grudge? It'll kill you. Somewhere. Holding a grudge, getting angry, getting hostile in there, causing all your glands to go out of whack. Well, God isn't like that, is he? He doesn't delight in holding a grudge. He doesn't bottle up in anger over our sins. He delights, and this is what needs to flow through us and the people that we look after and listen to, is this beautiful Hebrew word that some of you are familiar with. It's the word, that sort of word, Heshed. Heshed. What is that? It's a steadfast love. It's a faithful love. It's an unchanging love. And he, our God, delights in showing mercy. He will subdue. This is a great word. Look at that word for a minute. Subdue. Subdue. He will subdue all our iniquities. What does that mean? Removes the power of sin and guilt so that they will not have what? Dominion over us. There'll always be a battle between the flesh and the spirit. We know that. But we, again, I'm taking a big claim here this morning. We don't have to be ruled, that's not a big one, we know this. We don't have to be ruled by the devil. We don't have to be ruled by sin. And we don't have to be ruled by fear, anxiety, or depression. Remember what David said? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? In those days they had no therapy whatsoever. They just had, he had, Almighty God. What does he say? Hope thou in God. Or later in the Psalm 43, which is the one following 42, I will go to the altar of God, to my God, my exceeding joy, and on the harp I will praise you, O God, my God. And again, there's more teaching here for those that you may need to minister to, or this may be applicable to you. Look at verse 19. You will cast what? All our sins where? Into the depth of the sea. Just as he cast all the Egyptians into the Red Sea who were persecuting the Jews, so too will the consequences of all our sins be swept away. How well we may say, who is a God like you? Now listen again, this issue of mental health. The very important point is, for our mental health, if we are lurking, you're lurking this morning, you're lurking into your past, you're bringing it up, are you? You're examining it. You may set it before a psych and you'll say, oh, let's get all the nice, juicy, dirty stuff out of your life. Would you like to have sit there and have a beautiful catharsis before me? And you'll get it psychoanalyzed, and you'll get classified, And I say this morning, away with it all. Look at this. Those sins have been paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ. And I say to you and to me, no fishing. Right? No fishing. Don't keep bringing them up. We all do it. And I remember back that time you said, and I said this, and no wonder we're nothing. We won't let it go. No fishing. Let it go. It's been cast into the deepest of God's forgetful sea. Leave it there. God's forgiven it. And so much mental health, you can hear it. People, and I'm probably no better. We talk about an organ recital. We sit down and tell us all about our aches and pains. But people go and pull their mental health as well. You say, hang on just a minute. This is sin you're talking about. God has dealt with it. That's some degree what's wrong with AA. I've had a lot to do with AA, not because I'm an alcoholic. But at times they keep bringing it up, say, look, hang on, it's been dealt with. Been covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's been paid, it is finished. And sometimes you have to be brutal like that with yourself and perhaps with others. You see, before Micah's day and our day, God has continuing mercy. See how the last verse told it. The words Jacob and Abraham are mentioned. He's referring to his covenant. It stands steadfast today. Jacob's offspring would be like the dust on the earth, spreading abroad to west, east, north, and south. And as to Abraham, in you and your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And again, this word comes up again. He will show you what? Heshed, steadfast love, kindness, a merciful covenant God. He said to Abraham, look at the stars in the heaven. Can you number them? So shall your offspring be. Here is our incomparable God made promises to our forefathers, and as of the days of old, it is applicable to you and I. We have a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. And so in our brief discussion of mental health, and so much more to be debated and argued, nevertheless, we're not looking to ourselves or our own resources. We're looking, as we said this morning, firstly, we have a God who pardons iniquity, who subdues it, removes the power of it, because guilt can have. The debt is paid, the soul released, we are no longer in prison. Of the transgression, which is rebellion against God, through the work of reconciliation, we are now friends with God. Abba is our Father. Our transgressions have been passed over. The missing of the mark in sins is falling short indeed. But in Christ, we are right on target. You know something? And you may know it well, and I know it well. But I wonder if you're going to put it into practice this week. Why is it we are so low at evangelism? Why is it we still remain, I'll be the first to put my hand up, as shy about the Lord, the way we share Him with others or don't? Again, God has not given us what? The spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. And perfect love casts out fear. These are all areas that deal with mental health. We're not to be drunk with wine, thinking that may put away our woes and our troubles, but to be filled with the Spirit. You rejoice in God as you look back on your mental anguish. And I pray for each of you, much of it is God. But there are many out there at this moment, around you, neighbors, family, friends, and it hasn't gone, and there's still in mental anguish, and they may even this day be thinking of sadly taking their lives. Let us direct them, let me do it myself, you yourself, to Micah's God, our God, and Father, so with us. And we say, in closing, who is a God who is a pardoning God like you, like me, who has grace so rich and so free. Hallelujah. Word of prayer for we sing. Father, as we sing surely 10,000 reasons, we may be blessed in this church and as Christians in having so much, 10,000 blessings and even more. But Lord, may our desire be for those who are in anguish, in mental disorder and troubles around and about us. We desire greatly that they might come to know the God of joy and peace, Lord. Help us to be links and channels of such spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Blessing, and you'll find this enclosed in your newsletter.